Father, we are blessed this morning that we can gather together and to open up your word and to have a time where we can hear from you. As you being our teacher, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon this place, Lord, that we would walk away being changed and transformed. God, we love you and we're thankful that we can worship you, not just in song, but with our lives. So God, pour more of you into us so that this world may see you. We love you. We give you this time now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Great. All right. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's happening? You guys can go ahead and have a seat. All right. Well, this morning, we are going to continue our study in the Gospel of Mark, and so please open up your Bibles to chapter 9, and if you do not have a Bible, go ahead and raise your hand. One of our ushers will make sure you can follow along with us, so keep them up high so that way they can see you. All right, right here in the center. All right, and if you, by any chance, do not have one personally, please consider that a gift from us to you. And while you're turning there, we have a blessing this morning. We are going to kick off 2024 with our very first community partner. And what that means is every other month or so, we're going to invite different faith-based organizations or just organizations within our community. And the reason being is because it's important for us to know what is going on within our community, how we can take information that we receive and then pass it on to people who may need it, those who may be looking for a shelter, looking for food assistance, anything such as that. And so we're blessed this morning because we have the Well Pregnancy Resource Center with us this morning, formerly known as Hope Pregnancy Care Center. And so we have the blessing of not only hearing about the ministry there, but also how we can partner with them and continue to support this pro-life ministry, because it is so important in our time right now where we want to be able to be the voice for those who don't have one. And so we would love to invite Tina Otto to come on up, and she's going to share a little bit more. No, don't clap. Don't clap. I made a mistake. She's not going to come up right now. We're going to watch a video first, and then she's going to come up. But when she starts walking up, then you can clap. Okay? Thank you.
That happened last service too. That's why we're laughing about that. But anyway, good morning and thank you again, Pastor Jerry and staff, for asking me to speak this morning. I'm Tina Otto, the Client Services Manager at the Well Pregnancy Resource Center. On January 22, 1984, President Ronald Reagan, by presidential proclamation, designated the third Sunday of January as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday in recognition of the value of all human life from fertilization to natural death. Today, I've been asked to speak to all of you about Hope Pregnancy Care Center and the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Hope Pregnancy Care Center Incorporated is a nonprofit ministry organization that values life and believes that human life begins at the moment of conception and continues until natural death. Services are provided to men and women in a confidential setting free of charge. The services may include lab quality pregnancy tests, limited obstetric ultrasounds, pregnancy options information, ongoing support and education, and past abortion care. A couple major changes have occurred within the Ministry of Hope this past year. While the organizational name remains Hope Pregnancy Care Center Incorporated, the center name has changed to the Well Pregnancy Resource Center, or the Well for short. The name change occurred as of September 1st when we became a medical clinic and officially started providing limited OB ultrasounds to determine viability and gestational age. Clients now can see the development of their child in the womb. This has been an absolute blessing for the entire ministry and our community. To those who have supported this addition, whether it be through prayer or financially or shopping or donating to the Hope Chest Thrift Store, we thank you. Through those contributions, all of this has been made possible. This year for Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, we're focusing on the theme of the fingerprint, the ever-present reminder that you are unique, designed by God for a purpose, and there never has been nor will there ever be another human being just like you. So let's take a second and look at our fingerprints. At about 10 weeks after fertilization, our fingerprints begin to take shape. At 17 weeks, about halfway through the pregnancy, our fingerprints are set for our lifetime. The genes from our parents do influence our fingerprints, but each fingerprint is unique to each person. And each fingerprint typically has between 40 to 70 ridges and furrows. And each finger has its own unique print. So as a reminder of these facts, we've provided you with this little sticker when you came in today. And it lets you know that you are definitely one of a kind. If you didn't get one, they're still out there. The creation of life in the womb is truly amazing. Having said that, though, I'd like to acknowledge at least 25% of us here today. Statistically speaking, approximately 1 out of 4 women have chosen abortion by the age of 45. That staggering number means some of us here are a parent, a sibling, or a grandparent of an aborted child or children. And this information may upset you in one form or another. I'm not here to condemn. Instead, I'm here to educate and inform. I'm here to let you know that you are loved, you are valued, you too are desired by God. He has made a way for healing for you. All you have to do is ask and offer yourself to the plan and purpose that God has created for you. We are all one of a kind, designed by our Creator for a specific plan and purpose. No one is unplanned or unwanted. He desires each and every one of us to be His child, an heir to the one true King. Thank you again for allowing me to speak today, and if you have any questions for me, I'll be out in the West Lobby after church. Thank you.
All right. You guys, Mark chapter 9, you guys there? Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
All right. Let's all stand. One of the things that I would like to do this morning a little different. You know, yesterday we had, it's been a solid week of ministry, I could say that. Friday night we had about 80 couples sign up and show up for our couples fellowship, and so we had a potluck, and it was the first time I've ever seen so much meat in my life. It was beautiful. And then Saturday morning we had our men's breakfast, and we had a good turnout as well, and just really encouraging the men in our church to start growing in their relationship with the Lord and stepping up and being able to be used by the Lord in mighty ways. And so what I'd like to do is I want to request for two brave men this morning. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I believe you have a big enough voice, bass voice, that right where you're at. I'm going to read the scriptures first. And then once I get done with verse 41, I'm going to ask if two of my brothers in this fellowship would be willing to pray for the service and pray for me. Okay? Sound good? All right, let me pray. Let me read. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. Now John answered him, saying, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. We forbade him because he did not follow us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Father, I do thank you for this morning, and I pray, God, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with more of you. And may we all, at this moment, take the time of this silence just to thank you in our hearts. God, it is a scary thought to think where we would be right now without you. But because of your grace and your mercy, you welcomed us as we are. You've adopted us as your sons and daughters, and you welcome us into your family. So today, as a family, may we embrace the truth of the gospel message, the cross, the forgiveness of sins, the reconciliation, the amazing power that you have over death and life and the grave, that we today, God, would be so thankful for the way that you came into this world to give us life. God, we love you. We give you this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. You know, one of the things that is a blessing again as we continue to do ministry, just to know we all play a part in God's kingdom. And I pray for us that we would, as a fellowship, as a body of Christ, that we would realize that ministry and what we do here is not about elevating the name Calvary. It's about glorifying God's name. That's the heart behind this ministry. And I pray that nobody in this place, that we as a fellowship would not make the mistake of some other churches who have elevated the messenger instead of the message. As we sing in the songs of worship, there's only one name that deserves all glory and honor, and that's Jesus. And as we go through this next section of scripture, we're going to see God, we're going to see the Lord Jesus teach his disciples about what really matters most. And the reason for this time of teaching and preparation is to remember with me that the disciples would carry on the work that Jesus began. And in order for us to represent the Lord, we need to know the Lord. We need to know his heart. We need to know the things that he loves and the things that he hates. And we never want to just assume. We want to know what pleases the Lord and stay away from those things that we know he just hates. And what's amazing and why we should have a heart of gratitude is because of the fact that we can't do it on our own. And God knows that. That's why he's given us his precious spirit. And I ask that we would never lose sight of that. Because even though we're saved, we're still going to battle with this sinful nature of ours. And because we're forgetful people, that old flesh will come creeping up. And that's the very thing that God wants us to put to rest. Because when he saved us from that life that was pulling us apart from him. And because he set us free from it, he doesn't want us to go and start mixing in with it again. Doesn't want us to, you know, get caught up again into the things of this world that will literally pull us away from him. And this morning, we're going to see some strong words. This is like Jesus Mafia style, okay? I'm serious. But when you start reading the next section, you're going to understand, like, it was Jesus talking about Lake Mead. Okay? You'll figure it out when I get there, okay? But listen, we're at a point where Jesus is preparing and teaching so that the disciples will know what really pleases God and how to handle ministry. And this encouragement is for us today. As followers of Christ, we as the church, God desires to use us as his called ones to be a light, that this church would be a beacon of light for hope for people who don't have hope. And so Jesus was teaching the disciples on a topic that they were discussing and arguing about. And of course, the 12 spiritual men of all time were arguing about which one of them was the greatest. And yet Jesus took advantage of this time and began to sit down with them, called them over to himself, and began to teach them. If you really want to be the greatest of all, especially when it comes to God's kingdom, you shall be last of all. And you shall be servant of all. Complete opposite viewpoint from the world when it talks about being the greatest. God's kingdom isn't like that. Human values are not the same as kingdom values. And Jesus' main point last week was to stop competing with one another. Take your eyes off of each other. Humble yourselves, because in God's kingdom, there's no such thing as positions. There's no such thing as titles. So get rid of the title. Stop trying to compete. Stop looking and trying to get one up on your brother or your sister. But the reality is that taking your eyes off of you and putting them on other people is what matters most to God. That we would be willing to care for those who can't care for themselves. That we would be willing to care for those who have needs, from the least to the widows to the children. God's called us to serve, and to serve without ever expecting anything in return. And the greatest desire that I pray all of us would yearn for or strive after, if we're going to strive after anything, is that a true servant will get lost in what he does in a sense of not being recognized for the sake of God's name being glorified. And as we get ready to look at Jesus not only challenged those disciples with these things, but as we pick up in verse 38, Jesus is going to continue to teach. And in verse 38, John the apostle, the beloved apostle, speaks up. He was one of the original 12, but he was also one of the three of Jesus' inner circle, the one that went out with the Lord up on the mountain, who was invited to all of the special trips with the Lord. He speaks up and he tells the Lord here, "Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us." Now, we don't know exactly when this event took place, but John speaks up and he reveals, "We saw someone," and notice that, "we," meaning he was not alone. He had a few other disciples with him, and so they were eyewitnesses to what this one person was doing. And this one person was casting out demons. And here again comes the most amazing portion of Scripture, in my opinion, because it really does reflect what I believe the desire of any servant is, that Jesus is seen and we're not. And how do we see that in here? We don't even know the brother's name. We don't know who he is. There's some suggestions that he may have been, you know, one of John the Baptist's old disciples after believing in Jesus, that he went out and did ministry as God led him to. Another thought was he could have been just a bystander in the crowd who saw Jesus heal another person who was demon-possessed, believed because of that, and then began to copy and mimic what Jesus was doing. It's very possible. Another thought is that he was literally one of the 70 that Jesus gave authority and power to go out to preach the gospel and to cast out evil spirits, to heal people. Could have been one of them. We don't know. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think the beauty of seeing somebody who was devoted and believed in God, serving God, with not having to have a title, a recognition, a name dropped. He was just serving the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God, help us to be that way, right? It would have been a good time for an amen, but it's okay. It's all right. It's one of those rainy day moods kind of thing. I get it. But listen, they witnessed this man, John, and a few other disciples doing an amazing work. He was being used by God in powerful ways. He was successful when they weren't. And maybe in their frustration, maybe out of jealousy, John spoke up and said, "We forbade him to continue." Now, this word means to stop something from happening, to prevent, to hinder, to stop something or someone, and that's exactly what they did. But why? John tells us, because he does not follow us. He's not one of us, Jesus. So I want to make sure that we all get this straight, okay? What we just read is that John, along with a few other disciples, stopped a man from serving the Lord and healing people, caring for their needs, casting out demons. And the reason they stopped him is because he was not one of the 12. Does that sound like a spiritual deed? And of course, after Jesus hearing this, what was his response? Verse 39 and 40, Jesus immediately answered them and said, "Don't forbid him. Don't prevent him. Don't stop him. Don't hinder him. He's taking care of the needs of others." And Jesus obviously didn't agree with what they did. But this is important. He went on to explain why. He went on to let the disciples know, for anybody who does a work like this in my name, who does a miracle of casting out evil spirits, will never speak evil of me afterward. When he is done serving the Lord, he is not going to say anything negative about me. And sure enough, Jesus told them, he is not against us, fellas. He's on our side. Though he is not with us, he is with us. Though he's not part of the 12, he still believes in me. And so he goes on in verse 41 and he says, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, as surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Whoever, no matter who it is, blesses you as a believer with any act of kindness, as small as giving you a drink of water, because you belong to me and I see them doing this good deed to you, God will be their rewarder. You don't have to worry about it. God will take care of that. And beloved, what was the lesson that Jesus wanted them to learn here? Well, I believe the first one was this. There are going to be many others who believe in me besides you 12. You know, after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was birthed, Peter stepped up, recorded or just shared the first Bible study message ever recorded in the Bible, in the New Testament, in a sense, and 3,000 people got saved in one message. So there's going to be many others who believe in me. Jesus would also want them to understand there's going to be other disciples that God can use in a powerful way. It's not just you guys. You're not the elite. You're not the, you know, the heavenly Navy SEALs or anything like that, right? There's going to be others that God is going to use. And just because they may not be a part of our group, they're on the same team. So my encouragement to all of us next week, go out and buy a shirt that says Team Jesus. It's not what I want you to do. Just kidding. But this is actually, listen, beloved, this is the second time again that Jesus makes the mention of it's not a competition with other believers. I hope and pray that you would listen to my heart, because every single person who has made a confession of faith plays a part in building for God's kingdom. No matter what it is, you can be used to encourage others in their relationship with God. So the heart behind what I believe Jesus is wanting these disciples and us to see today as the church is ministry is not about us. Ministry is about glorifying God. It's one of our core verses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, it is so important that we never lose sight of that. You know, we are living in a state that majority of the residents are of a different faith. We're the minority. And the reality is, that if we want to see our state change, it's not about debating. Though we do need to defend the faith of what we believe, but we're going to learn how to do it in love and respecting one another. But the true evidence of a heart that is changed is fruit. Not what you know. It's how you live out what you know. And if you and I ever expect to win people to Christ. It's not by debating. It's not by arguing. It's not by competing. It's not by saying we're a part of Team Jesus and you're not. It's about you living life the way God called you to live. Living a life of obedience. Living a life that is going to be Christ-centered. Living a life that is going to, again, be an extension of God's love, hands, and feet to others who are around you. That's where we make a difference. And so, God, help us to do that. The next thing I want to do is let's pick up in verse 42. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, mafia style. All right, that was the reference to Lake Mead, okay? If your hands cause you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet, to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Verse 47, and if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes, to be cast into hell fire, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So Jesus now is not just, again, warning, but here's another teaching moment, because Jesus now kind of turns a little bit. And he wants us to understand, whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and thrown into the sea. Now, the word whoever obviously means anybody. This is anyone, and even for the disciples, even for us. What is interesting, again, is that right now at this present time, the disciples struggled with one another about who was the greatest, and now they're struggling with other people who are being successful in ministry. So this applies to everybody. And when the Lord re-referenced to the little ones who believes in me, in my personal opinion, I believe it's speaking of those who are brand new in their faith. It's speaking of even those who have been walking with the Lord as well. It's speaking of literally of every believer, but I believe, again, that the most time that we're going to experience this is when you come to that faith in the very beginning. I'll explain a little bit more in a bit. But it's really referring to every single believer. You cause any one of them to stumble, and this is referring to causing them to sin or pulling them away from serving the Lord. This is what Jesus said. It would be better for a millstone to be hung around your neck and to be thrown into the sea. I want to give you a visual, okay? I want you to see what a millstone is. This is a millstone. This is a small one, okay? When I was in Israel a couple of years ago, or last year, I can't remember, one of those years. But this particular area, this is obviously an olive press where they would put olives, and this is where they would get the seeds and separate everything, and the juice would come out. There's another kind of press here. It's an amazing sight that I'm praying that, Lord willing, one day our church will get a chance to visit this. And the reason why is because on this section of land, they walk you through some of the cultural things, some of the flowers of Israel that represent back in the Old Testament times, and how they would grain their fields, how they would do certain things. And then you walk through this area, and they show you the gardens, they show you all of these different methods of how they would make olive oil, wine, how they would crush the grain. They'll take you to a threshing floor. All of these amazing things that will bring the Bible to life. But at the end of the tour, what the churches are able to do is go into the section of this land and plant a tree. And the whole purpose of planting a tree is it fulfills scripture. The tree representing, again, the peace and the oneness that we have with the nation of Israel. And so it's an awesome thing that I hope and pray that we will all get a chance to visit one day. But I can tell you right now, just being very transparent, I don't want that around my neck. Okay? I don't want anything I ever do to think that it would be much better for me to have that around my neck and thrown into the sea. If that sounds bad, I would hate to find out what it would be to stand before the Lord and let his wrath come out on me. And Jesus very clearly said, you need to take heed and be careful that no one causes any of these little ones to sin. You know, when I look back in my life, and again, I believe this happens a lot more when you're a brand new believer, because there's family and there's friends that are so-called friends that just don't get why you decide to walk with the Lord. You know, I'll never forget, you know, coworkers at work, and man, Camacho used to be fun. Sorry. What? You know, why don't you hang out with us anymore in the parking lot? I'm just going to get going. I'm going to go home. Don't need to shoot the breeze anymore. Oh, you think you're better than us? No, it has nothing to do with being better than you. Are you going to judge us because we're drinking? No, you do you. If you feel that you want to sit in the parking lot and drink beer, God bless you. You do you. But it's not me anymore. One of my closest friends tried to do one of these things. Come on, man, we're homies, man. You know, we're buddies. It's like, yeah, we're buddies. If you're really my brother, if you're really my buddy, then have a beer with me. They said, I don't need to prove that I'm your buddy. I'm here. I'm standing in front of you. You want to talk? You want some encouragement? What is it that you need? I just need you to have a beer. I don't need a beer. I'm not thirsty. Man, we used to... Yeah, we used to. I still love you. Now, if you can't handle this, I'm sorry. But I'm choosing today not to drink anymore. Not because I can't. Because I don't want anything in my life that's going to influence me to do something that is going to be against my God. That's why. And you're going to get people who don't understand why you want to live for the Lord, why you want to serve the Lord, to even get you. Oh, you don't need to go on that church service. You go on another Sunday. Oh, you don't need to go and serve. Hey, Jerry, I got this weekend lined up of work. Double time, Saturday and Sunday. That's how much I'm charging them. It's easy money. Don't count me in. Where are you going? Mexico. You gonna go party? No. I'm going on a mission trip. What? Yeah, I'm gonna go help a missionary and build for him. What are they paying you? Nothing. What are you building? An outhouse? You're telling me you're going to give up time and time and a half, a weekend's worth of money to go build an outhouse for free in Mexico, and there's no partying involved in this? You are stupid. To you, that's what you think. But to me, it's a blessing. See, they don't understand those changes. So to them, it may look like foolishness. To them, they won't get it. But don't allow them to pressure you to go back into what you used to do. All right, man, I'll just have one. There's no such thing as just one. You don't need to prove your friendship by drinking a beer. You're there. You're willing to be there. You're willing to help with whatever. But if it gets you to the point where they're pressuring you to do anything against God, that's when you need to draw the line. And don't say, I can't. I don't need it. And the reality is God even warns those in the Bible very clearly. I want you to write this reference down, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. It's important that you know what happens when people try to entice you to pull away from the Lord. There is a judgment coming. The wrath of God will be poured out, and it's not going to be pretty. If you notice with me as we go on in verse 43 to 48, Jesus now switches gears. Instead of others trying to entice us to sin or to pull away, now he's switching gears and he zeroes in on our own actions, on our own life. What is he wanting us to understand? Be careful how you live. Do you realize, beloved, listen carefully. For all of my Filipino family out there, pa mi now. Listen with your ears. I don't know how to say it in Spanish. What is it? Escucha? Yes. Escucha. There you go. Hey, I learned a new word. Thank you. But listen to what the Lord zeroes in on. Be careful how you live. Why? Because our lives make an impact on other people, whether good or bad. And I hope and pray that we would choose it to be on the good and not the bad. Notice verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, what are you to do? Okay, that was a little weak. Verse 45. If your foot causes you to sin. All right, that's better. Verse 47. If your eye causes you to sin. Well, we need to understand here is that Jesus is not commanding us to go around and start cutting off body parts. Okay? He's not asking us to do this. He is not speaking literally. Because if he was, everybody would be walking around with one foot, one hand, and one eye. Okay? That's the truth, right? We all know it. But listen, what is it that God wants us to know about this portion of Scripture? It's not the removing of a hand, a foot, or an eye that will keep you from sinning. That's not the answer. It's not a body part that causes you to sin. What causes us to sin is what is deeply planted within our hearts. That is what causes us to sin. The book of James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 tells us temptation is not a sin. When temptation pops its ugly head in front of you, that's not a sin. When does it become a sin? When you meditate on it. When you allow that temptation to remain in your heart and in your mind, and you keep pondering on it, and you keep thinking about it, and it says very clearly that the desires that are deep within you, once those desires conceive, that means it turns into action. And that's when the temptation gets you, and that's when we sin. So the reality is this. No body part that you remove is going to help you. It's about your heart. And Jesus wanted his disciples with this picture of sounding crazy in a sense of cutting things off. What was Jesus really wanting them to understand and know? What extreme changes in your life are you going to make to keep you from sinning? What are you going to do? Now listen, I want to give you some examples. What are you willing to really do to keep you from sinning? And I'll tell you this, right? I'll be very transparent with you. After I accepted the Lord, what extreme things that God led me to do is I literally stayed away from my mom's home. Why? It's not that I didn't want to see my mom. But for whatever reason, my mom's home was the party place. Everybody would always come and hang out in my garage, even if I wasn't there or my dad wasn't there. They'd just come on over and make themselves at home. I'd try to sneak up to my mom's place, and man, the homeboys would smell me. It's like they knew I was there, and it's like I can't even creep into my mom's house. It's like I knew if I went, I knew I can't be around that right now. I'm not strong enough to say no. So I literally stayed away from my mom's place for almost a year. And it's not just staying away from someplace. I removed something and I refilled it with another. So instead of picking up the beer and having parties with my buddies, what did I get rid of? That. What did I add to my life? Bible studies and Pepsi. Come on now. Got to have a little something. A little Pepsi ain't going to hurt me. A little carne asada goes well with Pepsi too. So I'm just saying. I had to replace it. And not just the scene, not just playing dominoes and nonsense in the garage. I was picking up God's word and filling my heart with his word. That is what gave me strength to then go to my mom's place and be there without having those temptations. What extremes, what are you going to do to help keep you from falling into those sins that your life can cause somebody else to stumble? Because I'm going to tell you this. You have every freedom in the world. When you look at what the scripture says, we have freedoms in Christ. But I never want my freedoms in Christ to cause anybody to stumble. Okay? Let me give you an example. For those of you in this room who are vegetarians, I love you, okay? But I also love meat. Now, we can disagree, and you can tell me how it's unhealthy, and I'll agree with you. I understand it, but it's good. And you can try and tell me that, you know, Pastor Jerry, you need to take care of your temple. I agree with you. I need to do that. I need to drop some weight. I get it. But it doesn't mean I have to drop meat. I just need to control myself and not have too much meat. So we can debate, and I can even pull out scriptures. Look at what vision Peter had and what God said. Don't call anything unclean that I've made. Praise the Lord. Bring out the barbecue pit. I can bring out scriptures just as you can bring out scriptures. But now here's where love steps in. Because I can invite you over to my house, and I'm not going to use my freedoms to eat meat in front of you. I'm not going to serve you a steak. I'm going to make a salad. I'll make anything that you have a desire to eat, and I'll eat it with you. But the moment you leave, I'm having my steak. But I love you not to abuse my freedoms on you. Not gloat, not sit there and chow down, chew on a bunch of fat. I'm not going to do that. And you can use that same illustration with meat, with alcohol. You can use any kind of illustration. You may have the freedom, but here's the thing. Do you ever want anything in your life to cause somebody else to stumble? Because I don't want that millstone around my neck. I don't want that. And I don't want that for you either. You may be able to handle those things and you have a freedom to. But God has placed upon my heart and my conviction, and that is this. I personally don't want anything I ever do to cause somebody else to hurt themselves. What measures are you going to take? If you have a problem with drinking and maybe on your way to work there's 3 liquor stores and one Sports Bar and Grill. What measures are you going to take? Find a new route. Don't go down that road that has all of the availability. How about this? For those of you who are battling with porn, and listen, what's important to understand, this is not just a man's disease, a man's temptation, because statistics are saying that there's just as many women addicted to porn than there are men. So it goes both ways. And the reality is if you're having problems with that, what measures are you going to take? There's plenty of software out there that'll help you from clicking onto sites. And when you take those measures, don't set the password. Give it to somebody else and have them set it and not tell you what it is. Because it's no good to have the password, because you can easily turn it off and do your thing and then turn it back on when you finish. What measures are you going to take? Heck, if you can't handle a smartphone, get a flip phone. Trade it in. Just get the phone for what it's meant for, text messaging and phone calls. Take the computer out of your bedroom. What measures are you going to take? How about this? Shopping. Oh. I see some of the women. There ain't nothing wrong with shopping, Pastor. It can be if you use all your money to shop and don't have funds to pay your bills. And listen, I get it. Those big red signs in the window that says, clearance sale, everything must go. But here's the truth. It doesn't mean that it has to go to your house. Trying to help somebody out here. Beloved, the picture that Jesus is wanting us to see is sin is serious. And it has eternal consequences. And here's a portion of scripture that three times Jesus made a reference to hell. This word hell means Gehenna, and in the Greek it's Hades, but it's also known as the lake of fire according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 to 15. And according to our Bibles, listen, it is a place of eternal punishment, Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. It is a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth continually, 24/7, Matthew chapter 13, verse 50. Why was hell created in the first place? It was created for Satan and the angels that he deceived that followed him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. See, many people have a misunderstanding. Some people don't even believe hell's real. Some people may believe we're living in it right now. We're kind of close, but not there. Some people might think, oh, me and all my friends are going to be there, and we're going to drink a bunch of Coors Light. I don't see that in the scriptures. I see nothing but misery, sorrow, pain, no sign of relief for an eternity. So I want to wrap this up by just kind of condensing this because we're running out of time, but I want you to know this. Worship team, go ahead and come forward. The picture that I believe God wants us to learn and to warn us about is this. The illustrations of the hand, the feet, and the eyes. Listen carefully, beloved. It's referring to what we do. It's referring to where we go. And it's referring to what we see. And once again, we have the scriptures that give us liberties to do certain things, but my challenge to us today is don't let your freedom in Christ entangle you once again into the very things that Jesus set you free from. That old way of lifestyle, Jesus has, out of love, cut those things away from us, and we are the ones that don't need to go chasing back after them. We are the ones that need to turn away from those things. We need to make sure that we are not allowing them to creep back up. We need to literally cut them away, cut away from our past, And we need to start living in the newness of life that God has given us. See, those are the things that we need to learn. These are the things that Jesus wants us as a church today to live out. Because this is how we make a difference in our world. So what's our takeaway? Or let me back up. The reason why, again, one last scripture reference here, of us cutting away things is so that we, whatever we do unto the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever, wherever we go. Let me just close with this. Verse 49 and 50. "For everyone who is will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another." I want to condense this really quickly, and this is what Jesus is using in these two verses. The fire that we're going to experience are the difficulties and the hardships of life. We will all go through them. But when he says to be seasoned with salt, that means salt in this time and in that culture was used as a preserver to help fish and meat from rotting. It was also used for flavor. Okay, you want me to eat salad? Give me a little salt. Help it out a little bit. It was also used for medicinal purposes to help heal wounds. So when Jesus said, have a little salt in yourself, have a little bit of God's word, have a little bit of prayer, have a little bit of godly counsel in your life, and what will it do? Help you persevere through those difficulties. When things seem completely out of chaos, you add flavor to the situation by not having an attitude of bitterness, but of peace. Because no matter how much your world may turn upside down, when you pray, what does the scripture says? It will guard our hearts and help us to surpass all understanding. God will see us through. And isn't it amazing how God's word heals our hearts? So my challenge to us today is this, our takeaway. Living for Jesus and serving him, once again, is not a competition. But I want you to see this. Live out your calling. Be faithful with it and fulfill it. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about another church. They're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let them do what God's called them to do. You and I and this church are going to stay focused to what God calls us to do. It's not a competition, but my desire is that all of us finish the race. The next thing is more of a question that you can ask yourself throughout the week. And what is the question? What steps will you take to remove, to cut off things in your life that will pull you away from walking with Jesus? That's only you and Jesus. He knows your heart. I don't. But I do know this. You give it to him, he'll let you know. He'll let you know what needs to be cut away. He'll let you know what you need to stay away from. And he doesn't just let you know. He gives you the strength to overcome them. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time and for this morning. And I pray, God, your blessings upon the service. God, would you continue to help all of us, Lord, seek and strive after your very heart. May we as a church family get to know you, that we would, again, walk in obedience and we would have a desire in our heart, God, just to glorify your name. We don't want to be seen. We don't want our name to be dropped. We want the name of Jesus to be exalted. So help us this week in doing that. And I do pray, God, that you would lead us and equip us, empower us this week that we may live for you. And it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to worship the Lord this morning. I want to encourage you, if you have any prayer requests, please make sure that you come forward. We'll have a prayer team up here that will be willing to pray for you. God bless you all and have an amazing Sunday.